I thank God for His goodness. I thank Him for being so kind to us. We're so undeserving. And I don't know. We've had such a good time. I don't know why I should preach. Don't know why I should even be in on it. And I'm still struggling with God about exactly what to preach. So. I don't know if it was after me or not, but I was in a meeting somewhere and somebody got up and said, turn to the book of maps. That's the only thing left. Oh, let's go to the book of maps and see what we got there. Let's share this with you. I'd never heard that this morning singing out of Lamentations. What was that, chapter 3? I wrote some notes there this morning. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation. Lamentation chapter 3. It said, verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. If you look at Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, Jesus said, in verse number 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You ever wondered about that? It really doesn't sound like something we really want, does it? But do you know, if you go over in another place and my mind slips on where it's at, it's in Matthew if I remember right, but Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. The Bible says that Moses was meek above every man. People generally equate that word meek with weakness. That's not what it means. Look in Psalms 37. Where's the verse that says they shall mount up with wings as eagles? Who knows that? Isaiah 40. I want to stick my finger there. You can if you want. Isaiah 40. Yeah, I see it. Look at Psalm 37. Look at verse 11 first. But the meek shall inherit the earth. I say again, in our connotation, we're just not real interested. Don't throw this out because you might decide you're interested. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What does this mean to be meek? Look back at verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off. Now, let me ask you a question. Have evildoers been cut off yet? When will evildoers be cut off? We're looking at the millennial reign. Let's keep reading. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You understand, most of the time somebody dies and everybody's, oh, great, they're in heaven, da, 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 da. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Praise God, I am too. But understand something. When Jesus sets up the millennial reign, it ain't on a cloud.
Yeah, amen.
It's right on this terrestrial ball.
That's right.
He will set up his throne, the throne of David in Jerusalem. And he will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and evildoers will be cut off.
Yeah.
He will rule with a rod of iron. And it says, the meek shall inherit the earth. It's talking about the millennial reign. Look with me there in Isaiah. But they, Isaiah 40, look at that. Isaiah 40 and verse number 31. Now, many times this is preached like you're in a struggle and you're in a trial and you're in a dark time and just wait on God. God will take care of it. Just wait on God. And I'm not telling you that principle's not true. And I'm not telling you you can't apply this verse in a degree to that, but I'm telling you that the connotation's not really that. Let's read the verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You ever soared through the clouds yet?
Come on.
That's not just figurative language. I believe we were talking and singing about it a while ago. The trump's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And where's he going to be? He's coming back to Jerusalem and set up his throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And evildoers will be cut off. And the meek will inherit the earth.
Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I realize that there's some application to how it's commonly preached, but I'm telling you, there's coming a day the meek will inherit the earth. And that is something you want. We know what meek means? It means you're waiting on God. You're waiting for His. You're not sitting back feeble. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing the way God wants you to do it, and you're under His control. If you look at that, I can't remember where it's at. It's over there, and Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Does anybody know where that's at? That's right, Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I wrote this note in my Bible. When things in my life of ministry are unbearable, I must be out of His yoke. You've heard it preached. You know what a yoke is. You put it around an oxen. If you got two of them, it ties them together. They work together. He said, take my yoke upon you. Work with me. When things in my life of serving God are unbearable, I must be out of His yoke. I must be doing it on my own. The meek wait on the Lord, and they will inherit the earth. I just want to share that with you. I praise the Lord for His goodness. Well, I don't know. Go with me to Philippians. I want to preach something. I think God's going to have me preach it. And I love doctrine. And it's got doctrine in it, but and I believe I preached some of it at our camp meeting when y'all were there. But this is not it. but I wanted to share this with you because we were talking, I don't know if it was last night. By the way, what is that song? What's that song you want to sing now? In the book, you got the paper in the book. Yeah, but that's not the "Once in the Stillness." And in there it goes. It talks about on my knees at midnight. It's got a new meaning now. I was singing that while ago, and I thought, wow, that's got a new meaning now. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about what's next, and I want to tell you, testing's next.
Amen. Yeah.
Testing's next.
Yeah, amen.
I think I may have mentioned this week. I don't know what I hadn't mentioned. So anyway, James says, and my mind's drawing a blank here, but my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Testing is coming. Philippians in chapter 1, you've already mentioned it today, brother. Paul went to Philippi, he's preaching. They get mad at him, throw him in jail after they beat him. And there with his bloody wounds, he and Silas are singing at midnight. I'd have been pouting and thinking, where in the world are you, God? And blaming God for my predicament. By the way, you read, I believe it's Shackelford's Compendium of Baptist History. And he's talking, if you follow the church, and when I say the church, I am talking about the institution of local churches. When you follow the church through history, I'm not talking about Catholicism or Protestant. I'm talking about true Baptist churches. You'll find that there have been much persecution through most of history, but there have been times of reprieve. There's been times of reprieve in that. And one of the records in one of those times of reprieve, and then the government changed, as I think we're looking at here. And they began to suffer again. And it says 200 years, something like this, 200 years of reprieve had made their bodies ill-suited for suffering.
Yeah, come on, watch out.
I'm a wimp. You know, when we start facing persecution, I'm thinking I'm going to volunteer to be the first martyr. Get out of here. I'm just being honest, folks. But the seriousness of it, you need to understand, we need to recognize. I would love to tell you much more about our Baptist forefathers. John Waller, after he was saved, called to preach, preaching the gospel, standing in the pulpit, Brother Brad, leading the congregation and singing. They came in and began to taunt him and wave a bullwhip in front of his face as he was leading his church and singing. And when he wouldn't do anything, they took the bullwhip and the handle of the bullwhip. And when he opened his mouth to sing, they rammed the handle in his mouth and drug him out in the yard and beat him. And when they let him go, he walked back in the church house, dripping blood on the floor. They said, "Preacher, you okay? You all right?" And he got in the pulpit and he preached, "The beaten oil is the best oil." Persecution is not something to run from.
Amen.
Paul wrote Philippians, and he had been there, he had been in jail, and now he's at the end of his life, and he's facing the martyrdom that he suffered, and he's writing to the church at Philippi, and this is much about joy. If you read the letter to the Philippians, I mean, there's all kinds of things about joy in here and happiness. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, let me read that chapter 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled it. God give us humble.
Yes.
Church members. Amen. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You find, as you read down through here, you'll find that I love chapter 4. Your mind, by the way, let me say this, and this is still not the message. This is here. And so sometimes you ever get to wondering what somebody might have said about you. Am I the only dummy? I mean, I know they don't like this, and they probably said something to so-and-so. The Bible says, It said, let this mind be in which is also in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4 and verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Wait a minute. Do you know they said it?
Come on.
Well, no, but I'm pretty sure. No. Do you know?
Yeah, that's good.
Nah, do you? If you don't know, you don't know it's true, so don't think it.
That's good.
Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Some of you gave it in your testimony about how you were arguing with God and you were going to plan a time to get saved. And then even Brother Brad was telling us how he was going to work it in where he could get baptized without even telling you he got saved. And I like it when I get to use somebody else's illustration. But anyway, if it's not honest, don't think it. You ever ride down the road? There's one of those cars over there with them different colored lights on the top. And that little thing on your dash don't match what the sign said back yonder in white. And now you're looking in the mirror to see what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And your mind starts coming up with what you're going to say.
Nope.
And it's something that's not honest.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
Don't think it.
That's good.
Whatsoever things are just. Well, they will never know. Taking advantage of people. Whatsoever things are pure. And one of the things that's going to happen to have a revival that continues is holiness.
Amen.
In our Baptist churches, we preached a lot on standards. But God says, be ye holy. 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 That's pure. The only thing I know that's holy is God. And of course, this is His Word. He said, be holy. Think on things that are pure. You know, it's hard to think on things that are pure when you listen to a song that's talking about cheating on your wife or husband.
Yeah.
It's hard to think about things that are pure if we're listening to something that's talking about some ungodly activity. There ain't much in this world that you can really spend a little time with and stay pure. And I'm not just talking. By the way, something was being said the other night about testimony. Let me give you a little story. I think somebody along the way said something about they didn't really have any bad things to say. Their life hadn't been that bad. Praise God.
Amen.
As I understand the story, there was a larger Baptist church. There was a woman of ill repute, and her daughter came to that church. It was a larger church, had several deacons and staff, and the young ladies that were the daughters of the staff did not lead godly lives. They did in things that we're not even going to mention. And they would mock this teenage girl, the daughter of the woman of ill repute, for not joining in their ungodly activities. And one day in tears, she looked at them as they taunted her and tried to get her to go join in their wickedness. And she looked at them in tears, and she said, anytime I want to, I can be what you are.
Yeah.
But you can never be what I am.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
young men, young ladies.
Yes.
There are things that can never be undone. And before you get involved in something, normally, you've been thinking about it.
Amen.
Yep. You probably already lived it out in your mind.
Yep.
He said, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. And by the way, let me say this. You may be sitting here, and maybe some ungodly things have taken place in your life and nobody knows. But let me say this. When Rahab repented, she was put in the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God can take that broken vessel and make a jewel in His kingdom, if you'll let Him. So whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I preached a message many times. God gave you a mind and He told you what to think with it.
Amen. That's good.
Daydreaming is not biblical. Whoop! I don't like preaching that because it makes my toes hurt. Daydreaming is not biblical. He said, think about things that are true, honest, just, lovely, of good report. That's what you're to make sure. Bible says, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know what I do a lot? Not near enough. I've got the audio Bible on my phone. And I will listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. And sometimes I'll get out of practice because at night I'll turn it on and go to sleep listening to Psalms. And sometimes I'll get out of practice and my wife will go, honey, are you going to play the Bible tonight? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God said, this is what you to think. You think on these things. If it ain't true, don't think it. If it ain't honest, don't think it. If it ain't lovely, don't think it. If it ain't just, don't think it. If it ain't pure, don't think it. If it's not a good report, don't think it. Don't even think it. That'll change your relationship with people.
Yes.
Now, I'm not telling you something I've mastered. I'm telling you something I have to keep going back to.
Yeah.
And God's dealt with me. Why can I tell you about the guy with the blue lights and the speedometer? Because I'm guilty. I've rode down the road and go, okay, I'll tell him. And God said, is that honest? You know what the best thing to do? Just tell them the truth. Several years ago, I was in Ohio and I was driving and I saw up here they were moving a house. Now, the preacher I was under in Wisconsin when we started First Church up there, he had a house moving business and I helped him move some houses. And so I saw this house they were moving and I was looking at it. Wow. All of a sudden, I looked up. I was in a school zone, the first day of school, and doing about 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, and there he sat. And the lights came on, and I pulled over, and he pulled up, and he walked up to the window, and I said, I'm sorry, sir, I forgot it was school. And he took my license, he said, when's the last time you had a ticket? Unfortunately, that was a long time ago. I have had them. And he said, don't do it again. And he handed me, you know what it costs you to get a ticket in the school zone? Oops, didn't mean to meddle there. Okay, moving on. We're going to have altar call on this side, and the rest of y'all just listen up. But I was just honest with him. And by the way, I was respectful. I teach my children, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. I don't even always do it myself. I've had people tell my children, you don't need to say that to me. I tell my children, you tell them, if I don't say that to you, I get in trouble with my daddy.
Yep.
Be respectful.
Amen.
Be respectful. It goes a long ways. I realize we got corrupt people in places of authority. You can still be respectful.
Yep.
You can still be respectful. Well, several things. This is what we are to think. This is mind control. I believe it was Lester Roloff that's given credit with being told he was brainwashing those children. He said their brains need washing.
Amen.
Ours do too. Ours do too. Go back to chapter 1. Paul's writing to them. Let's see if we can find us a spot here. Paul was in prison. Look with me. In verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Do you realize what's going on? Paul is in prison. Paul is being held in prison, and he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, listen, folks, I'm under persecution, but in my persecution, God has allowed me to preach in a place that I could never have preached before.
Yep.
Paul could most likely have never got into palace at Rome to preach the gospel except he had been a prisoner. And here it says that this manifests in all the palace. When the persecution starts coming, start looking for a place to share the gospel.
That's good.
When the testing starts coming, start looking for a place to share the gospel. I already told you about Lewis Craig. They dismissed the court for a little bit. He turns and starts preaching to the jury. Persecution provides a place to preach. Look at verse 14 again. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. Do you know what else persecution does? Persecution pushes other people to preach.
Yep.
When they see your son, that's why I love to read what these people went through, and they still stood, and they wouldn't compromise, and they preached, and they preached from the jail cell, and they preached from the tavern, and they preached wherever they could get anybody to listen, and they just kept on preaching, even though they were being persecuted.
Amen.
By the way, you said mention some women folk, and I hadn't done that. There was a fella in England that was arrested for preaching the gospel. He was put in the Newgate prison. We don't know his name. But in the Newgate prison, his wife would bring him the food, and they would bring him milk. And he took the milk and a stick, and he wrote with the milk on paper. And when the milk dried, you couldn't see it. And he would give it to his wife, and she would take it home, and she would burn the paper. And as she burned the paper, the acid in the milk would become visible, and she transcribed what he wrote and sent it to the King of England. It's known as the letter from the anonymous prisoner at Newgate, and it has words that are involved in our very liberty in America. His wife was willing to smuggle out of prison the words of liberty. Somebody suffering in prison that I don't even know their name pushes me to to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Persecution, testing, trials. Look a little bit further there in chapter number 1. Look at verse number 19. For I know this, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Notice what he said in verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Persecution makes the house of God a house of prayer again.
Yeah.
If you look, well, maybe let's just go there. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John had been in prison, in jail, Acts chapter 4. Look with me down in verse number, let's see, how about verse number 23? And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. What happens here? They've been in jail. They get out of jail. The church, they come to the church, they give a report. The church lifts up their voice to God in one accord. The church is praying together. The church is praying with the power they were given on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
And this is what they pray. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine of vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, that against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Notice what they pray. They didn't say, deliver us from persecution. They said, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. They didn't ask for deliverance. They asked for a boldness to keep preaching. They were praying. The church was praying. Notice the next verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The place was shaken where they were assembled. Visibly, physically manifest power of God, because a church gathered together and prayed in accordance with the Word of God, that God would use this persecution that they may boldly preach the gospel.
Amen.
Persecution pushes people to pray. Look back in Philippians chapter 1. We could read several verses here. For to me to live is Christ, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not, for I'm in strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, persecution is not feared when you live by faith. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ for me by my coming. Persecution, it pushes people to preach. It provides a place to preach. It brings about prayer. It's not feared when we're living by faith. I'm going to give you one last thing here in chapter 1. And this is the one that's spoken to me the most. Is there any gift from God that He offers you you don't want? I'll tell you, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
I mean, would you say to God, don't, you better be careful now. Just listen and, you know, I'm baiting you. God, I want everything you've got to give me. God, I want everything. I don't want to get to heaven and be led through that room like them people tell you, where they'll tell you and show you all these doors that's got all these things that God wanted to give you and you just wouldn't ask for it. And there it is with your name on it, and you could have had it. Okay, fine. Let's just ask for some of them that we know are available because they're written right here in the book. You know, years ago we bought our daughters a Precious Promises edition of the Bible. Got all the promises of God. I don't know what happened to them. I'd like to go check and see if this promise is in there. I don't think it is. Yeah. What are you talking about, preacher? Look down the end of the chapter. Paul is in jail. He's about to be martyred. He's writing to the church at Philippi that's seen him suffer. And he says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him." By the way, Paul's right there. Don't read any further. Let me have your attention for a moment. If I could just pause and insert something. Did anybody in here repent without God? You realize that repentance is a gift from God.
Amen.
Let me say this. Therefore, especially for some that are struggling, if you repented, it wasn't you. It was God.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Repentance is a gift from God.
Right.
That's why those repentance works. Yeah, God worked.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
You don't work, God works.
Amen.
You just say here, somebody said, "Hey, you don't get to tell God, you don't have a choice." I've argued with the Calvinist a lot. And the only thing it does is help me, because it helps me understand Scripture as I see their failures and misunderstanding. And they're telling me that God, you can't do anything. I said, I just have a choice in it. And I use this illustration many times. You know, I didn't make it to your camp meeting because I had them kidney stones. I know I'm a wimp, but I didn't make them because I had them kidney stones. And so anyway, what happened was I went into the hospital and they come in there in that room and they bring me them papers and say, "Sign right here." I signed right there. They started poking needles in me. I don't remember what happened next. I woke up and they said the kidney stone wasn't there. I didn't do a single thing to get rid of that stone. But I sure am glad they're gone.
Yeah.
All I did is say, "Yes, you can do that to me." That's the way it is with salvation. God right. said, "Here's repentance." "Yes, Lord." "Here's faith." "Yes, Lord." So if you repented, you didn't do it. God did it. If you believed, you didn't do it.
Amen.
God did it. I'm not trying to talk you into anything, but I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
Now, when you go back to that verse, it is given to you not only to believe. What? Now, don't read it yet. Hold on. We like that. Man, God gave me, God helped me, God gave me faith. What did that man say when he brought his son to Jesus? He said, "I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief." I love that passage. I love that passage. There's so many times I'm struggling. I know you can, God. Just help me trust you in it. Help thou. He said, it is given to you. Not only. So he's given, you're given belief. But that's not all you're given. He's writing to a church. He says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also I ask you, do you want everything God wants to give you? Suffer. Suffering is a gift from God. This is where the rubber meets the road. Praise God for what's going on. I'm telling you, it's coming. I'm telling you, don't run from it. It is given to you not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. That ain't talking about suffering. Now, that don't mean, what I'm suffering for some stupid things I did. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about suffering for standing for Christ. It's talking about suffering because you won't recant. You go back and read. I see you've got Martyr's Mirror on the shelf in your office. You ought to get that book if you don't have it.
Amen.
I've never read it all. I can't read but a little bit of it at a time. They died over and over and over for their baptism.
Amen.
It's given to you not only... Understand something. I realize that we are living in a land of liberty right now. But those of you especially who have just said God saved you and you said, yes, I want to be obedient and follow the Lord in baptism and the church will decide, et cetera, et cetera. But one day that's going to be put to a test. Yes, it is. My wife and I grew up in church. You've heard my testimony. I was dunked. Thank you, honey. I was dunked when I was 9. When I realized that I was saved in Mississippi and not when I was 9, I was immersed in a church that claimed to believe local church doctrine. I think I can tell this crowd this. I don't know if I want this online. Oh, well, whatever. And then I found out some more things and I ended up having to leave that church. And I went to a church that had been reestablished under Shiloh. And I got immersed again. And then I found out things there. And they turned into Calvinism and alcohol. When I went to Shiloh, I called Pastor Willie. I don't know what to do, Pastor. But I understood a little bit of authority. And I understand from understanding authority that you go up the chain of command. And my authority had went haywire. Yeah. So I went up the chain of command to Shiloh. I said, Pastor, what do you want us to do? I want to come to Shiloh. And he first told me, he said, well, so-and-so baptized you, and they were baptized and ordained here, so we'll receive your baptism. And then he said, but you might want to get baptized. I said, Pastor Woody, I'm coming by baptism. Amen. I'm coming by baptism. When you understand succession and you understand authority, at least a little bit, you understand. I've asked Pastor Woody this question. I said, if you found out that a preacher that's in your lineage, as you begin to look back as far as we can trace in history, you found out there was a Presbyterian, what would you do? He said, I'd be looking for a church. Yeah. I said, amen, Pastor. That's what I want to hear. That's what I believe. But do you know that I've had family who are supposed to be independent Baptist? How many times are you going to get baptized? Baptism will be tested.
Amen.
Hold fast your profession of faith.
Yes. Amen.
I believe with all my heart that when I got baptized under Shiloh, under Pastor Woody, under that authority, that there are things I begin to understand in Scripture that I did not understand before.
Yes, amen.
It just keeps opening up and opening up and opening up. Persecution's going to come, folks. One way or another, it's going to come. Yea, and all the preachers that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yea, and all the church leaders that live godly. Yea, and all.
Yes.
Y'all know what God means when He says all?
Come on.
This is deep. You're going to have to go look it up in the Greek. When He says all, He actually means all. When I say I'll eat all the pecan pie, I hope nobody else gets a piece. But I usually don't get it all. But when God says all, He gets all. And He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
Don't run from it. It'll give you a place to give the gospel that you never could have done before.
That's good.
It'll cause other people that are watching you to preach the gospel that wouldn't have otherwise preached it. It'll cause people to take serious prayer that wouldn't have prayed like they should have before. It's not something to fear when you're living by faith because, hey, only fear Him, which we're going to destroy the body and soul in hell. And it's a gift from God. And He said, you want it? Paul says in chapter 3, I love this passage. I believe it's about verse 10. He says that, this is Paul. This is Paul, the one that's in the jail, that's been beaten, Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? This is Paul. He's been shipwrecked. He's been left in the deep. He's been stoned and left for dead. This is Paul. He's preached the gospel. He started established churches. He stood and looked at Peter and told him, you're not right on the doctrine on this. And he says, now at the end of his life, that I may know Him. And look at that in chapter 3.
Amen.
This is what Paul asked for. That I may know Him. Well, we like that. I want to know Him better. I want to know more about Him. I want to draw closer to Him. Amen. We like that part. And the power of His resurrection. Yeah. Hey, that's what it says. Being buried with Him and the likeness of His death. Raised to walk in newness of life. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That is the power of the resurrection that is given to a fella, a woman, as they are baptized into church membership. That I may know Him and the power of resurrection. We like all that. It keeps going. And the fellowship. We like fellowship. Hallelujah. Shut up, Brother Hanson. I think there's some cookies left over there. We want to go fellowship. And the fellowship of His suffering. I'm putting this on anything pedestal or nothing, but your preacher and I and his family and my family and some of you, and you're getting it more and more, but there's some things going through and trying to establish churches that we have a camaraderie. Those days when I might not have preached except for God put that song in my heart that I'd heard Pastor Woody sing, Don't Give Up on the Brink of a Miracle. We have a camaraderie. There is a fellowship in suffering. And Paul says, I'm not talking about the fellowship of other church members, saved people. I'm talking about the fellowship of Christ suffering. is given to you not only that you may believe on Him, but also that you may suffer for His sake. It's a gift. God's handing it out. I asked you, I told you it's a loaded question. Do you want everything God's got to offer? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all those that love His appearing. The meek shall inherit the earth, the place that you're going to be in that millennial reign will be determined by how you are living after you're saved. Oh, I want a position of importance in the millennial reign. Here it is. Suffering. You go back to chapter 2. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but took upon Him the form of a servant all the way to death. You keep reading where I stopped. And every knee shall bow. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we get on our knee to pray. I can't hardly do this because it says every. It ain't going to be like this.
Yep.
It's going to be like this.
Yep.
Every knee shall bow. He suffered unto death, even the death of the cross. Paul said that I may know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You want everything God's got for you? Praise God, He saved you. Hallelujah, He saved you. You want everything? Are you willing to suffer? It's going to cost you something. Jesus said, count the cost.
That's right.
It's going to cost you something to live for God. Mark it down. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you. Not to be saved, to live for God.
Amen.
It's going to cost you something. It's a gift. That don't look like any gift I want. It's a gift.